on the Sunday after Easter, having had 5 church services in 8 days, I thought I would sit with the congregation. And that day, Alan was here. Alan did everything. And I was seated back there. Part of it was that I wanted to just rest in being in the service. And part of it seemed like I was kind of being a secret shopper, even though you knew I was there. And so it stayed in my mind for a few reasons, and I thought I would say what I saw. So first of all, I was sitting in a musical dead spot. It felt like when I was singing a solo. And maybe you've noticed there are spots where the music is more resonant than others, and maybe you chose your spot for that too. But I was in a spot where I felt separated from the music, even though it was gorgeous. But here are the other things that I noticed that were really wonderful. The greeters got up immediately and gave a bulletin to someone with genuine warmth in their faces. The readers came up and they read beautifully. And in fact, it was easy to enter the story because of how they read. And as people sat beside someone else, maybe someone they didn't know well, they looked at each other and there was warmth and rapport. The whole thing seemed to flow. Now, you'd expect on Easter Sunday, with the grandness of everything and lots of people, that things would flow. But, you know, we call the Sunday after Christmas and the Sunday after Easter Low Sunday because it seems a few people stay away. And yet, it had this warmth and beautiful flow. And so I've been thinking about flow. The church word we use that would be like a synonym for flow is liturgy. Now that word, it comes from a Greek word that means the work of the people. And that word kind of leaves it out in the open. Well, what is the work of the people? And maybe then to expand on it, the work of the people is to come together intentionally in the presence of God. That's what the word liturgy is about. Now, people have played with the word liturgy. There is a theologian, a young theologian with a recent book. His name is James K.A. Smith. His book, Desiring the Kingdom, really struck me because he was playing with the word liturgy. And he said, you know, going to a shopping center is a liturgy too. You get in your car, this is an American, so picture an American big shopping mall. You go in your car, you enter this parking lot, you find your spot, you come in the grand entrance and there's this atrium, and you smell the wafting of the scents, perfume or popcorn or whatever it is there, and the brands seduce you and you worship the god of capitalism. It's for his book, you know, it's idolatry, all of that stuff. But I want to talk about it from the perspective of flow, because in the readings today, you probably didn't notice it, but there's flow in relationships too. And one of the readings is about the beginning of a relationship, and the other is about the end of a relationship. So Paul's is the beginning of a relationship with the people of Athens, and Jesus is talking about the end of his relationship with the apostles, because he will be leaving them, and he's not leaving them without the possibility of knowing what they need to do. So the beginning of the relationship that Paul forms is this visit to Athens. And we have the middle of a story here where Paul is selling the concept of resurrection. And he's also selling himself, because, you know, if what you are presenting of yourself is dissonant with your message, people aren't going to accept the message either. This is the middle part. The first part is he arrives in Athens, and he walks around, and he's critical. He doesn't like these other temples. He thinks people waste a lot of time just talking idly. And so the first part, we skip that. And then we get to this part where he expresses it as appreciation to the Athenians. He admires their buildings. He does point out the one he likes the best to an unknown god. And he also quotes their poets in quotes that have stayed even in our prayers. The God in whom we live and move and have our being. That has stayed with us. That comes from one of the Greek philosophers. And this sets him up to start his relationship with the people of Athens. Now, Flo is, of course, about how it all went. And what we hear after the part we read is that there were a couple people who were very moved by what he said, and they're even named. But we don't know where it goes from there. Now, I think I want to do a little comparison to Jesus when he begins his relationship with the disciples. Because there's Flo there too. It would seem that they might have known him already. You know, when he went to Peter and Andrew and James and John at the boats, they may have known about him or seen him or even known him by name by then. And yet still there's this forming of relationship, this checking each other out almost, which becomes him telling stories and parables and healing people and progressing right through to them being with him at the end, at the supper, running away from the cross, depending on which account you read, and now being with him as he's preparing for them to have the Holy Spirit as he goes from them. There's a whole flow to it. Now, this brings us to how it all ends. And with Jesus, we now have that reading where he is telling them he is no longer going to be with them. But if they've really taken it in, Jesus will always be with them and they will know what to do. Now, I do want to pull in a Paul comparison too, because even in the letters where he knows the Romans are going to execute him, these letters end with great warmth. And so he has clearly developed a real rapport with the people of the churches he founded. There's no letter to the Athenians, so we don't know how long that relationship lasted or whether it prospered. But we know from the other churches the warmth that he had with the people there. Now, what about flow for us in our relationships? In our experience of the liturgy, I want to talk about both. So, as I said, on the Sunday after Easter, I felt the sense of the flow of the worship service on the Sunday. And I found myself thinking that observing a community where people understood what they were going to do, did it with their hearts, it was very comfortable. And even if you are newer and don't know necessarily what liturgy looks like, I think you might have felt the comfort of being with people who knew what they were doing and were doing it with their hearts. And I hope that as you get to know worshiping God here, that you feel that sense of flow as well. But what about flow in your relationships with people? Friendships have a beginning, maybe even sometimes a rocky beginning, maybe a love at first sight beginning. Some of them are shorter, some of them last us all the way through, even to the end. We had a funeral yesterday, which was really about relationships that last right through and to the end. Our friend and church family member called Cliff had a really interesting story and a beautiful character, and many of us felt a deep tie to him. And when I went to see him in the hospital, he said to me, "You and I both know we will never see each other again." There was a known ending, and he was aware of it, and he embraced it. About our relationships, God is in them. God is in how we come alongside another person, or how that person comes alongside us. God is already in your whole life journey, whether you've noticed or not. And then the word liturgy is the intent of noticing and being in God's presence, which has always been there. When Jesus speaks to the disciples at the end, he is saying, "You will know what to do and how to be." And we have that. We have that promise from Jesus that the Spirit will also guide us to know what to do and how to be. And it's a great comfort, maybe even in advance when we don't yet know what we don't know. It's a great comfort that the Spirit that Jesus promised already has been guiding us and will take us further from here. Amen.